What's going on, everybody? This is the Record Report Podcast. I am Vance B.
It's Ahmad. What's up, y'all?
And today we're doing a fire ass review of Future's magnum opus, in some cases, DS2.
This album is so good, y'all. I'm so excited. Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah, I just fuck your bitch. That's some Gucci flip flops. I just had some bitches and I made them look locked. I just took a piss and I seen coding coming out. We got purple activists, I thought it was a drought. Fuck out some commas, yeah. 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 100,000 to 100,000. 100,000 to 100,000. 300,000 to 500,000. 1,000,000 is how money shout. Wake up before you brush your teeth, you grab your scrap, nigga. All the time you get down on your knees, you don't crowd, nigga. Fuck what you heard, God blessing all the trout, nigga. God blessing all the trout, nigga. Freak hoes, freak hoes. Bounce that ass, make your knees touch your elbows. Freak hoes, freak hoes. Bounce that ass, make your knees touch your elbows. Say you get thrown, I'm trying to part with you. Oh, that's your best friend, I'm trying to fuck with you. First met the bitch, they said they real sisters. Okay. I don't give a fuck if they were real sisters. Where your ass was at, dog, with niggas 1 feet. Where your ass was at, dog, with bitches didn't eat. Where your ass was at, dog, with niggas tried to run off. Where your ass that dog, made me put his gun out. Where your ass was at, dog, you went to switch sides. Where your ass was at, dog, with niggas spread lies. Where your ass was at, dog, about to come slide.
Yo, welcome to this week's episode of The Record Report. I'm so excited. We came across this album. We have all the schedule, stuff like that. And originally, we were going to talk about 56 Nights. And he was like, yo, 56 Nights is cool. Because we was trying to like associate Future. And like, this was, everyone assumes, well, some people assume that when March Madness dropped is when he, his ascension, right? But it wasn't a whole album. It was a couple of songs, the EP rather, that was hit at the right time, the right weather. He had a storyline. He was locked up overseas. His friend was locked. The DJ locked up. Da, 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 da. It, you know, it kind of took him somewhere. But it wasn't a whole album, right? The whole album, it had joints. It was a great, it was five songs. Okay. You can't really go to that next level with five songs. So when I was listening to it, he was talking. I text you and I was like, yo, we have to do Dirty Sprite too.
Yeah.
You have to do, you can't do, yeah, you do it justice because that is the one, right? Yeah. This came right after, was this right after March Madness and stuff? 56 Nights, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 56 Nights. Because he had one of the, we can talk about it later on the episode. His 2015 run is one of the best runs in hip hop in a lot. And like, it's one of those stretches that does not get his credit. Because it really was amazing. That 2015 Future run was crazy. 2015, 15, even like 16, 17. But yeah, so just reading out this week's episode is Future's Dirty Sprite 2, released July 17, 2015. Future released this album with production from people who was pretty cool to see, like people who he's worked with in the past, take it to the next level. So like Metro Boomin, Southside, Sunny Digital, Zaytoven. It was like a few other people who contributed. DJ Spins, Ritter, who did the opening song. It was amazing. The singles was Commas, Where You At, and Stick Talk. The album did well. Critically, it was very well critically acclaimed, great stars. This really was, like, I think something we talk about was, like, the one that really made Future, like, name in music circles. It was on a bunch of end-of-year lists for 2015, 2010s. Did well commercially. Certified triple platinum last year, but originally when it first came out, it was, I want to say, the number one album on Billboard. Yes.
Yep. So yes, it was.
It did well commercially. It did well critically. It sold, it well reviewed. It was a really epic album. Vance, what was it like? What was it like revisiting this amazing album?
First off, kudos for you for setting the tone for this album because I feel like because of the content of this album, I feel like there is an audience that don't fuck with this album because it's not, in some cases, it's considered mumble rap, especially in the 2015s when these things are new. But one of the reasons why I think this album is amazing is the fact that not only it sounds good, it was commercially successful, but the most important thing is that this album is a part of history, whether you want to say it or not. It is documented or has been documented several incidents that this album either talks about directly or talks about it indirectly in a subtweetish kind of way that still applies to today and how we look at the culture now. And I do think that after going back through this album, I think that this is definitely his magnum opus within his catalog. And that says a lot because his catalog has been really good, even though, you know, there has been downfalls or you know, certain mid areas here and there. But to just look at this album again, like when it first came out, I knew that this was going to be a generational changing kind of album. But to look back at it, it just feels so good to hear these things and hear how they kind of partook in our history and the history of music in general. And outside of the music just sounding really good and just slapping and making your car shake in so many ways, the historical context of this project is what really makes listening to it again much sweeter than listening to it the first time.
Yo, no, but that is so true. It aged so well. It really did. Yeah, man. Let's just jump in. What's your favorite song, but what's one of your highlights?
Oh, come on, man. Come on. You know, we kind of get started with the first song off the entire project. The first thing you hear that slaps you in your face, thought it was a drought.
Oh my God.
I really like this, hands down, this is probably one of the best intros I've heard of the 2010s. Flat out. Like,
wow.
Hands down, one of the best intro songs of the 2010s. And it is debatable for one of the best of all times, but it should definitely be considered in the top 50 of musical albums. The fact that you're getting this this atmospheric vibe, these synths that kind of carry on and get more complex before the song even drops. The fact that you're getting the snap of the bottle, the snap and crack of the bottle, and the fucking Sprite that kind of pours into the lean and shit like that. He already poured the lean in the cup. Now he's pulling up with the Sprite. You feel like you're getting ready to indulge this shit with him. Or you're indulging it because now you're consuming this album. The deep dive into the beat drop that happens is what really brings you into this album. And it was just fucking genius because we already knew that like Future and Lean was, you know, very closely, you know, condensed with each other, especially with songs like Codeine Crazy. And also, oof, you know, his previous Dirty Sprite, the previous Dirty Sprite project. But this was just something that was, for somebody like me, like for me that's into like alternative music and like the different changes and the different scenes that could be created sonically with music outside of just the beat itself. To actually hear everything kind of build up in the beginning before he just says some wild shit to start out the entire album.
Yeah.
From that point on, I'm engaged. I'm already into it. And he just starts out with, I just fucked your bitch and some Gucci flip-flops. And when I go back, like compared to what I said originally in the beginning about how this historical or how this album is very historical, this lyric to start the whole album is the most historical one because it's based on something that's actually true. But for him to just continue to go off like beat by beat, it sounded so fucking good. And I think for me, this was like one of the best or most memorable intros that I've heard in a while musically. So like, yeah, this was definitely one of the songs that made me say, okay, all right, I'm starting to really respect Future. Like this is crazy. And the thing is, like, I didn't really like believe in Future previously before that. It was crazy because one of my friends, like in New York, she was just like, yo, like you gotta fuck with Future. But this was around the time that like the shit dropped, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna give him a shot. But when I heard this shit, bruh,
yeah,
this made me say, oh, I need to really take this dude serious, like as an artist, not as just a rapper from Atlanta, but as a musical artist in general. This was the song.
I think one thing that also what I did not really thought about when I was listening to the song and parts of this album was this was also a lot of the music that he put out right after breaking up with Ciara, which I think also contributed to why people might think he fell off, because his music, he didn't have like a hit. He had hit records, but he didn't have like a hit album. Like that bit, Honest came out, Honest and stuff, it was like a more pop, like some stuff, whatever. But this album, I felt like it took people to where he kind of was off to become. And this was the fantastic opening for that new. And there are certain lines in here that he's talking about, clearly talking about like breaking up with Ciara, right? There's bars all throughout this song, not only the album, but this song. But just like you said, the way he opened it, talking about Dirty Sprite, just in there. And one thing that was like, my assumption of coming into this was, oh man, Future just makes drug music and shit like that. Do I really want to go back and visit it the second and third? Because I kind of felt like a lot of his music can come off like more druggy, right? Like, yeah, it was kind of forced. But did you listen to the commentary album that he had also on like Spotify and Apple Music and stuff?
I've been running into it, you know, as I listen to the project, but I haven't heard the whole thing yet. Like, I heard like snippets.
Yeah. I actually sequenced it other day in the gym. So I was talking about it earlier. I actually sequenced it. I was like a play, not a playlist, but like a listing on a music joint. And I would play the commentary and play the song just in the third, kind of get this idea of what he was going to with every song. And actually, it was actually really helpful in helping me change what I thought about this album. Because what he literally talks about the creativity that went into each song, which is so cool because I wish more artists would do that. Because he just went and say, like, he talks throughout this whole thing about how unorthodox this was. He said he really made this album like he never made it before. Like, it was just, they were cutting up certain pieces of certain songs and making certain things that weren't hooks, and changing this and changing that, and taking this little bridge here from other verses. So he would just lay down a verse. He kind of like the producer would come up and like chop stuff up and put this here. And like, this song wasn't this way. It was just him laying out the thought, but then him and the producer came together to put it all together. He talks about it a lot throughout the commentary. Like, he was like, again, like, I never recorded like this, that, and the third. And on this particular song, he said he came across the beat, somebody who wasn't his kind of producer. And he said he just felt like this album wasn't about, it's so interesting, because it's not how I put it. He said this album was kind of about me giving into my vices. Like, me fucking up and me going into this. And like, the high of, not just actual high, but the high of music and shit like that.
When I originally did the song, I laid the vocals a totally different way. And then when Metro got through producing it, he took a few of my vocals and he rearranged it. And that's the way we got, that's how we came up with the title, Thought It Was a Drop. And I'm saying this is part of the song. I'm like, thought it was a drop, thought it was a drop. Thought it was a drop, we pull an activist. So it's just like the intro to the Dirty Sprite too. And, it was a song, like I was saying, like I didn't arrange. I just made the music and I let them tell the story, like for us, how they heard it as a consumer, as a fan.
Some of that might be bullshit. I'm not gonna say all of that was true, but some of it might be bullshit. But knowing that he actually take this level of creativity with his music and like stuff like that, I think that any toss and level of vulnerability, I think that is why people like Future more than other artists was able to stick around, because he's a vulnerable to an extent, but then also some bullshit in there and kind of mix it all up, and it makes him seem more authentic, I guess. I don't really know what it is, but You think about all the artists that came and went, Future has stuck around.
I think the internet has also helped that out. The fact that like he's associated with the modern form of like pure masculine, or not, or what people or majority or idiots call like pure masculinity, like toxic masculinity in some cases. There you go, that's a better word for it. But like the fact that like his music is associated with that, even when, you know, at different times throughout his career, he's like, yo, like I'm not really like this person. It's just me putting it into the music. For him to be at his most vulnerable time with songs like this, it really showed me that he can open up about much more, how should I say, much more deeper things within his life, or deeper things within the context of his life, but then do it in a way that still sounds tough or feels tough. Even with some of like the softer songs in this project, like you can still feel that same aspect that he's had for other songs throughout his entire catalog. I feel like this, project itself was like the first, the start of what he was able to kind of build. But like that's interesting that a lot of these songs, or a lot of the songs off of the project, is like mixed with different. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I'm trying to catch up. No, I
Yeah.
agree. No, I agree. I agree a lot, man. And I think this song was a perfect opening to this. I think it kind of set the tone. The way the beat comes in is fantastic. It's not too much, it's not too wordy, just two verses and two bridges. It was Metro Boomin
Awesome mall,
again
man.
was amazing, right? Metro Boomin on here was crazy. I think it was really good. Again, like I think this was so creative, and it's pretty cool, right? Because we're gonna recap, like talk about it later. But him and Metro still got songs that's crazy out. They just put out on Metro last album, which was fire. It was a really big album, man. I'm really happy he started off here.
Also, I think the first verse is based off of a situation he had with Scottie Pippen's wife, but that is rumors. That's
This
all
was
based
before
on.
this was before then, right? No, am I
Well, before
tripping?
I think I've heard, and this is rumored, I've heard that this song, like the beginning, is actually associated with an incident between Future and like this lyric here. And we don't really go into gossip and shit, but the reason I am mentioning that is the fact that not only has this been like documented and like said in like short form content, but also I've seen like different videos of him talking about the song itself, and like maybe a situation that did arise from that. So there's certain context that comes with the beginning of this entire album. But this shit is crazy, because like you hear a couple of other things about like Sierra throughout that entire project as well, and I'm pretty sure we're gonna get into that, because like even that whole situation between Sierra, Future, and Russell Wilson, it got pushed out to the NFL, like it got literally pushed out to the sports world. So like history, dog, history. But yeah, I'm gonna definitely look that up to confirm that, because I've heard about things between Future and Scottie Pippen. So
Man, that's some wild shit.
yeah.
It's my turn. Do
Yes.
question. Are we doing the deluxe version, and are we doing the original 13 songs?
Hold on, let me
Because
see.
I can do both. I just want to make sure I see which one you're listening to.
I hope it was the deluxe version I was listening to, because it jumped into the commentary.
The one on Spotify also had a special song, like I like live here, something like that.
Yeah, I was listening to the deluxe.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, just checking. So my even though I'm gonna start with the regular joint, Colossal. Oh my God, man, this was fire, right? I think this is the only song that was done by Zaytoven, so it wasn't Metro. And it wasn't South South Sunny Digital. It was Metro. He also did Blood on the Money, But this was no Metro. It was all Zaytoven. So
yeah,
all Zay.
Started with the keys.
Started with the keys, man. And I think that's what it did. It also pulled me in. It sounded like those old, not old, but like the earlier Gucci Mane trap beats that pulled you in.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool to like, it didn't feel like a throwback, but it definitely was like a, I still got that, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
I really enjoy this song, man. I love it. The piano's just bringing me in. His flow, which is singy, rappy, whatever, and his playing on the word colossal so much. Also, shout out to him, said being be more like a raven. Also, the reason why I went extra high for it.
The shit getting colossal. We trap out the trap out, we love it, we getting that money. We trap out the trap out, you know that we love it, we getting that money. This shit getting colossal. Hummus on hummus, new numbers on numbers, get lumber on lumber. Got bills by the bundle. Got hundreds of gunners, a hundred in the drone, that's a hundred on hundred. Trapped out the house with my partners, we went to shopping on midget. We went to cap it and get it, take flights out the city. We go to AZ and send it, we go to AZ and get it. I'm hungry, I admit it, I'm swear I'm conditioned. I serve and I hustle on any conditions. Fuck your permission, I get to them digits. Come to your town and I get in the split.
Yeah, man, this is one of my favorite joints on here. I always play it.
This shit was slapping with Higher Gun. I ain't gonna even hold you. Like this, I was feeling colossal in a lot of those stadium, you know, battle rooms and stuff in the game. But yes, I'm just saying, man. Like I ain't know like Warhammer and Future would slap so hard, but it does. But to this song specifically, I agree. This song definitely took me back to the mid to late 2000s Gucci and Zaytoven collaborations. And like I also feel like Zaytoven, we gotta consider Zaytoven as like a legendary producer now, like up there with the DJ Premieres, up there with like those legendary producers, because this dude always managed to have his hands on like music from artists from around that area, Atlanta. Even the fact that he's able to be versatile and work with Usher and for a whole project and make something that's pretty fucking good, a lot better than I expected, and then also work with Gucci and so many other artists, like it's just respectable. But the fact that Future is coming out at this time with DS2 and having Zaytoven like kind of work on the song with him, for many who have been fans of him, it kind of feels like a long time coming on a more national scale. Mm-hmm. But have they done, you know, music together like in previous instances?
They had a song before.
Yeah.
So kind of he did a whole tape. He did a whole tape. Remember him and Gucci Mane did a tape. It was after this.
Yeah. But I feel like when you get up like a Zaytoven stamp, like you're definite, like you're a part of like the Atlanta music community on the national scale. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like I feel like that's kind of like the stamp. And this was at a time where like Zaytoven was still like he was still grinding, but it wasn't as hard because he made so much songs with so many artists like Gucci and Jeezy and things like that. But I'm just talking shit.
What else is coming up for you? What's your next highlight?
See, I want to throw in a crazy wrench because I came across a surprise banger that at first I kind of skipped over because of the title. But I guess for the next one, I'm going to go with the safe entry, and I'm going to go with Free Co.
I knew you were going to pick that.
Freak Ho. That's that ass touching knees, hit the elbows. And I
Those
know I'm
drums is ridiculous.
fighting.
Doom, 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 doom. It was crazy.
See, I heard this version first. I heard this version before I heard the original Free Codes. And like, I was like, yo, this song slaps. And then I found out they sampled Master P's original version. So I was like, oh man, like this has historical context to it. I'm fucking with this. I need to go back to Master P's version. And then we did that review, and you know where I got, where I heard it from. Like, I like this version because it's a more amplified Atlanta switch up of Masterpiece Classic. No disrespect to Masterpiece version. It's one of my favorites off of the original album that it was on. But we've already said before that it has a certain critiques that we're not really going to go back to. But this shit right here, this had the drums that the original really needed to like make the club shake. And the fact that it still does that to this day, like if you have a good DJ who knows how to play it, yo, oh my God, you could throw this shit in, it's gonna make crowds go crazy. And this was surprisingly one of the songs that I heard throughout Made in America when Future was performing there. So like, yeah, this shit was fire. Like I was fucking with this one.
Ooh, I think also I was again listening to the commentary. Future say he was inspired by the Masterpiece song, and he just wanted to put his own twist on it. I thought that was pretty cool. Like you said, it was a great homage. Again, another great thing about the album was these little small little hip hop nuggets, right? And it's cool we did cover that album, didn't we?
Yeah, whoa, yeah, the original album that Free Coast was on, yeah, we didn't
Yeah,
like
they're
it,
true.
but
The true album, yeah, I didn't
yeah,
like it. It wasn't my favorite Master P album. Maybe I'll go back
no,
and revisit it and I'll change it. You never know.
nah, you have
Ooh,
fun with that, sir.
I
I got the nuggets that I got off of it. Don't get me wrong,
don't
they were
know.
some bangers off that
Yeah,
one,
that
but
was fire.
yeah.
Again, another cool thing that he said about the song was again how unorthodox it was made. Like the chorus piece was not meant to be a chorus. Metro took that from something else, cut it up. Put it right there, played a different way, changed the speed of it, and made it into the hook. And I was like, yo, that is, he talked about it on the thing. So he said he chopped up a piece of the song, made it into the hook. And if you're thinking about like that creativity of him and Future in there, like, okay, what are we doing with this? Da, 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 da. Like, that's really cool.
Like I said, it was real unorthodox. I was doing it. I just did free codes, but just something that I did at the end of the song. And once I did free codes and I started speaking on it at the end of the song, we made it to a hook. So when I originally recorded, it wasn't free codes. That wasn't an issue. That wasn't my intentions. But I like that Master P. I remember that shit like free codes. I said, "Hey, making me touch the air, bro." So me just being inspired by that part, putting that part and putting my twist on it at towards the end. I was originally doing a verse and I did that. Did like 8 bars of the free codes part, and I never did anything else. And then Sko was like, "Man, Sko came to me like that free codes. You might need to finish that up. You might need to finish that up." And they made a hook, so they stretched it another with 12 bars, and I end up doing something else. And we took a bridge that I end up doing at the very beginning of the song, moving it to the end of the song. So the way these songs was arranged, and it's super super unorthodox from how they came out. The original way what I recorded, I didn't go in the booth and make the song the exact way they hear in the song. I put my vocals over the beat and we rearranged the way my vocals, we might took a vocal that was at the end of the beat and put it at the beginning or put it at the end or put it in the middle or took it and put it in the middle of a verse or whatever. Everything that you hearing on Dirty Sprite was unorthodox and I did it on purpose that way.
And he kept saying about the project, the thing, like, I never recorded like this. It's so unorthodox and I wanted to do something different and this, that, and the third. I don't know. And I think that it showed up in this, in the music. And I think it showed up in a response and showed up how fresh it is.
Yeah.
Outside of that, like, again, man, those drums.
Yeah.
Oof, oof,
Plus,
oof,
you gotta put
oof,
a
oof,
lot of
oof,
trust in your
oof.
producer to let that shit rock
You
like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really have to
facts.
trust your producer to like really let you take certain parts of like songs that you thought you had set up in your mind and make it what it is now. The fact that he was able to, like, all right, like, Metro got it and let him cook, like, it just attests to not only how much of a genius, like, Metro when it comes to making music, and to also the fact that he spent hours just recording himself working on this stuff shows the proof that he's been really working at this for decades now. But also the fact that, like, Future trusted him enough to work with him and be able to do these things and experiment with the lyrics that he had to make the songs that, you know, it eventually became. It's crazy. It's crazy to me.
That shit, yeah, man. Crazy. I think that creativity showed up. It showed up like this, you know. I think it shows up, yeah, in a special way. So yeah, I think that's really cool.
I was also going to say, it's kind of also funny to see, like, these hip-hop nuggets embedded throughout the project, because one thing that Future does talk about, I remember him talking about DJ Esco in the Rap Radar interview, you know, prior to this album, and talking about, yeah, how DJ Esco was, like, a huge hip-hop, like, dictionary. He was able to, like, talk about the history and stuff like that in regards to, like, how this album is constructed and this stuff. So it's kind of dope to kind of hear how you got people around you that knows, mm-hmm, about the history of it, and then eventually kind of lead to how hip hop is re-implemented or remixed in this case, because Future One, you know, came out with a song that flips such a classic song in Southern, and, you know, in the Southern hip hop history. There you go.
Yeah, man. No, I think that's a great response. Got to get into one of my highlights. This was not originally one of my favorites. This song definitely grew on me. I think it's how all over the place it is, and I serve the bass. You a fuck a rich nigga for the fame, won't you? You would get that pussy up to a lane, won't you? Like an old school, I redid the frame on you. I got my old shooters with me and they land on you. Bird to them niggas at the six. A whole lot of lean, my nutrition. They should've told you I had them drain coming. They should've told you I brought a bank with me. They should've told you I keep that Miley on me. They should've told you I got that stick with me. You the one who ducking from a drive-by. My niggas unemployed selling bypass. I serve the bass, I serve the bass. I serve the bass, I serve the bass. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Cause it feels so it just feels like not weird, but it feels like it wanna just get you, like, moving, but, like, out of, like, your normal what he could sound like.
Yeah.
And I do wish a little bit that he would do more stuff like this.
Yeah.
This reminds me very much of, like Kanye on Black Yeezus, but not as crazy, right? But
yeah,
really, like, it's like, okay, he doesn't go that way. He does mellow, he does safe. I do think I wish he would do stuff more like this. It sounds a little grunge, a little rock, a little loud, a little louder. Maybe that's, yeah, what I just louder Future. Again, he said it again in the creation of it, or during the follow-up interview, whatever it was. I served the bass was a part of, like, a hook from another part. They cut it up and made it on. So, again, I'm assuming he will make a verse, go through it, and it will kind of, like, take certain things what he was saying and cut up, move stuff around. One thing that he did say, though, was, like, because Metro Boomin did this beat. Metro Boomin did other songs for him that was hits, but not, like, big hits, like Karate Chop, stuff like, yeah, that. And he said, Metro, like, if this is one of those, this can be a kind of song to take you from just a producer to a producer, right? Like, this is one of those big songs to prove that you can do something more than what you're known for. And it's amazing because I think this album helped Metro Boomin so much.
Yeah.
Even if you look up when he started to blow up more, 2016 was his big year for him. So this is right after this. This came out in 15. So
yeah,
he had this song. He did plenty of other mixtapes, but he was not well known. He didn't do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he had a beat on Pink Print with Nicki Minaj, which is big. He had other stuff. But when this came out, and he had a hit song with Commas, and he had a hit song with other stuff on here, I think it kind of changed. He did a lot more. He did Big, he did Jumpman, he did Bad and Bougie after this. He did stuff with Kanye. He did
Wait, Jumpman came out the same year. Yeah, Jumpman
he
came out the
did.
same year as this project. But yeah, I get what you're
Right
saying.
after
Like
this,
that's,
Tunnel Vision, but Big Account, like his
he did Tunnel Vision.
yeah, for Kodak.
What? I didn't know that one.
Yeah, Mask Off, all that came after this. And I think like this really, which is crazy because for him in Future, it was kind of crazy how that happened. But yeah, man, I thoroughly enjoyed this song. Definitely one of my favorite joints. It was not my favorite at first when I first came out, when the first album first dropped, but coming back and revisiting, like it was definitely one of my ones. And the songs that I used to like, I love even more. So it's actually pretty cool to one of the ones that wasn't my favorite kind of wound up being one of my favorites.
Yeah. Shit, I ain't gonna even hold you. I did not like this song while I was listening to it when I first started. I didn't like the song when I came back to it. I skipped it a lot of times, but I think the moment that it actually grabbed me while I was playing like games or getting ready to play an actual like lacrosse game. Like that, like in those instances, it worked well because of the activities that I'm doing. Maybe the distant world that I'm in when I'm gaming, or I'm about to go run into somebody on the field. It helped me kind of get through those moments. And it was like, yo, okay, all right, I'm here for it. But it didn't really grab me compared to some of the other songs. However, I do respect it because it felt like it was a song that Future placed at that time for Playboi Carti to pick up. With albums like the oh my God, I hope I don't say it. I'm gonna say that album wrong, like Slayer. The album that came out recently. I do feel like it's kind of a precursor to albums like that Playboi Carti dropped. I'm gonna look for the title of that. But yeah, I it this out this song actually grew on me a little bit. It's not my favorite, but I do respect it. And the fact that this was something that was very experimental that Metro did work on to really stand out. Like, I might not like it, but it really did stand out when it comes to you just even going by it. Because once you hear those horns come in, either you're with it or you're not. You know what I'm saying? And so many times I wasn't with it, but the times that I actually invested in it, it was worth the listen. So can't knock it. Can't knock it. It's not my favorite. But I can't knock it at all.
One thing he said, one bar he said was, "Try to make me a pop star, meet me a monster." I was like, oh, okay. That's pretty
Oh,
cool.
yeah. And he's mentioning like his previous projects and stuff like that. That's pretty dope too. And that's crazy as fuck. People say this shit was mumble rap though, bro. Like that's yo, that's crazy.
I can see if you think back to 2015, was like, I can see why. It's definitely formed from people being influenced by him, but I can see why. I can see why.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
What's one of your next? I'm running out of highlights.
All right. I'm gonna throw in a wrench. I'm gonna say Slave Masters.
Talk about that.
Slave Masters caught me off guard. I did not like this title. Even when I first
Me
heard it,
either.
I did not like this title. I don't know why he named it the song. Cause like this is probably one of the songs that slapped the hardest out of this album. But because of that title, I try to avoid it so many times. But once again, while I'm gaming, I couldn't avoid it. And when I was listening, this was the song that made me go back to it. Not only because it just slapped compared to the other songs, but it slapped differently. The drums that were being used were used in a different way. Very similar more to Gunna. You know what I'm saying? Like a little bit slower, but it still had the hard hitting drums to kind of get you through the track. The lyrics were a little wild because he was still using the slave master, like you forums or whatchamacallit, metaphors. And I was like, all right, I'm trying to ride with you for this lyrically, but the song itself, the production, the way that it was made, oh my God, that shit made me go back to it.
Jump out a new whip, nigga, like I'm a slave master. I pull a two zips, nigga, I'm feeling way better. I'm feeling way better. I'm feeling way better.
I'm feeling way better. I'm feeling way better. Jump out a new whip, nigga, like I'm a slave master. I pull a two zips, nigga. I'm feeling way better. 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 Brooklyn ride with us, got my jeweler ride with me. Watch this drift off this good doty. I can't provoke on these killers, don't go to. Put it at 12 o'clock, smash her the script. Bitch, you some action, yeah, bitch, you some real. She gave me face on a pill off the rip. Do it for niggas who here, do it for niggas who gone. Do it for double, he gone, do it for double, he gone. Do it the way that we grown, do it the way that we grown. Do it the way that you want. Staying true to this culture.
This shit made me go back to it completely. Over and over and over again. And I was like, yeah, I really want to not like this song because of the title itself and the fact that he kind of uses some of those, like some of those epithets into, you know, the lyrics and stuff like that. Like, look at the chorus. Just bought a new whip, nigga, like I'm a slave master. I pull up two zips, nigga. I'm feeling way better. I'm feeling way better. I'm feeling way better. Like, it's competitive. And then he used the slave master shit. I'm like, all right, I get you, bro. But man, that beat. Oh, my God. I can't. Oh, that production. I could have run away from that.
Yo said, Metro Boomin and Southside got me overlooking racial tension.
Bruh. Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. For real.
No, for real. This was not one of my highlights. Wasn't a low light either. The title definitely was, but the song wasn't. Again, I'm keep going back to the commentary because it kind of changed my perception of this, right? Again, I've always seen Future is glorifying drug use, right? Like, yes. I mean, I'm not excited that it's not, but I've always pictured this, him just doing it. So, the commentary piece, he said something, and he was like, he said all the frivolous bullshit, da da da. And the one part he says, and it stuck out to me, and he was like, it's kind of like me popping out to my drug use and just buying stuff to make me feel good. And I was like, damn, I never looked at his music in general coming from that perspective.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, like a lot of it's just about me saying that I'm weak and I can't beat I'm falling into my addiction. I'm falling into drugs and buying stuff to make up for other shit.
I take my habits and sometimes I use them to my advantage by getting over certain situations. And it was just basically about me expressing myself again through my music by my choice of words and my wordplay is one thing, but the things that I'm talking about is basically me just getting over certain situations, me using drugs as an alternate route to be able to overcome certain things in your life that you feel like you don't want to get to you. So it's like me copping out, taking the easy route, you could say, and by substituting my problems and my pain with codeine or whatever.
I was like, fuck.
God damn,
this nigga music is this nigga music is a cry for help.
Right. Whoa. And granted,
this is a cry for help. Fuck.
You could this is you his cry for it. Help,
right? Which was wild, right? Was, oh shit, this nigga's a cry for help. He need to go get a fucking therapist.
Real talk.
Yeah, nigga, you know like people OD and listen to this nigga and he just crying for help.
Yeah.
But no, damn him, how did I just say that? No, it's it was like, damn, I never thought about it, right? Because you think about the song, he talks about drinking codeine and rolling the dope, right? So clearly, like, using pounds of Mary, he talks about all other shit. He talks about the two-door coupe, four choppers in it. There's no lyrical dexterity going on here, but it's just, I guess, his way of putting everything together.
Yeah.
But then he's like, the gold AP got him fascinated. No fabrication, I'm on medication. Cough syrup, I'm infatuated. Yeah. It's just like, dang, man.
Damn.
Fuck, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the best way to deal with this shit, is make songs called Slave Master. But
say it, man. Say it with your with your chest.
But listening to it and listen to the commentary, listening to the song, I said, oh, okay, fuck. It kind of gave you perspective where he was coming from. I'm like, oh, that's what this song is. That's fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that level of vulnerability and put it that way. I wish he could put it another way, but that's the way he found a way to express it. I thought it was fucking creative and cool, man. Listening to the album was fire, but having a commentary helped change my perspective of Future and this album. And you know, I was already a fan of him just because of the vibe. But knowing what he went into this album was like, it's crazy if he's not bullshitting.
Yeah. I'm glad that you mentioned that asterisk in the back.
If he's not bullshit. But if like, he's much bullshit, then we gotta have another conversation.
Yeah, man. Like, you're giving me so much introspective because I know that a lot of the, like, his catalog itself is a part of history. Like, so many things have happened. It's a part of internet memes. I feel like his entire catalog kind of like takes a deep dive. And I don't mean that in a quality kind of way. I mean that in kind of like a content or in some wrestling aspects, kind of like a heel turn kind of way. Because when he started, he made like back-to-back, trap bangers, you know what I'm saying? Like club songs for the club, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But like as he continued, to develop his career and become the star that he is, it kind of felt like this album was a heel turn. That he was
indulging. It definitely was.
And like as the songs and stuff move on or the albums kind of move on from this, it feels like he dives deeper into his addictions and dives deeper into his villainy
to
come out with
point.
The future that we have now with the last album that we had. Now it's kind of like, yo, I'm in this shit. Like, you can't stop me now. Like, I know I'm good at being the villain. I'm happy with being the villain, and now I'm moving forward. And I'm not trying to villainize Future, but it feels like that's the kind of vibe that he kind of brings sonically through the sound. And it's really cool to see as he kind of moves on with his own life, because I also have seen interviews of him saying like he's not really doing the same things that he used to do in the past. That was just his way of coping with what was going on at the time. So really, really interesting when you look back at Future's entire catalog historically, because now that you're like, even with the commentary that you're giving me, along with what we know about the general history of Future and the creation of this project, it just adds so much more to what he was going through. Not saying that Toxic Masculinity is dope and all that shit, but the fact that you do see kind of like a downward spiral with the vibe of his music in a good way kind of happen, but the quality is still there. Like, I fucks with that heavy. It's kind of like a character development. There you go.
Yeah, that's a great perspective, man. I would agree. I think that's why he can get the comparison to Drake. I really do think so. Drake came out 2010-ish.
Yeah.
Future, his first mixtapes came out then, but again, different fan base, different background. He cannot put out one album a year. He has to put out the mixtape run. So if you think about it, Dirty Sprite, the very first one, came out in 2011.
Yeah.
But he was building a fan base, things of that nature. And their trajectory since then, I think it has been... Of course, Drake is more successful, but Future has always been very close. Very close. And I think this kind of leads into my next highlight, which is where you're at.
Man, where your ass was at when we took the city over? Where your ass was at when all that asses was the holder? Where your ass was at when niggas first got the news? Now your ass around because we're paying back dues. Where were you when all the dogs needed help? Lawyers in that commissary ain't gonna pay itself. Where your ass was at when we recorded in the bathroom? Where your ass was at? I take attendance like a classroom. Man, I ain't got no choice, cause nowadays I swear this shit to change up for the boy. I'm self-made, selfish with my women, self-employed. I'll buy the neighbor's house if they complain about the noise.
So, man, where your ass was at? Niggas wouldn't feed me. Drake was the only feature on this album. Esco said to Future, he said, if you have any feature, if you have any feature on here, it should be Drake. Because Future said we're gonna do no features. And he was like, yeah, you're right. It would be cool if we should just if Drake was on this. He said, but I don't feel like asking nobody for no songs right now because I'm just kind of like in a creative space. So in my own paraphrasing, of course.
Yeah.
He said, cool. He says, right before he about to turn the album in, Drake hit him like, hey, did you turn your stuff in? You got something for me. And he was like, boom, that's crazy, because it kind of was the energy was there. So he sent it over to Drake. Drake got on it, boom. That's why he's the only feature on here. I think Drake has always knew when to build with people who are like on the cusp of blowing up and line next to them.
Mm.
And he builds up off their fan base.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you think about it, wasn't Drake and Future the first Drake duo album?
Yes, actually. Yeah, let's confirm it with actual. No, hold on. Let's actually confirm this before I start talking.
I think it was though.
Yeah, because at that time, like he was mainly just coming out with what's that project? Oh my god, I know everybody was getting ready for Views, but he was
that
one. But I think
reading this is too late. No,
that did it come out. That came out 2015.
Yeah, that came out 2015.
Yeah, that's when I actually started respecting Drake as an artist. Like
that came out right before this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that wasn't even like an official album. That was like a free release.
Yeah, like a Spotify mixtape.
That joint was fire.
Oh my god, it made me like Drake. It made me like Drake.
That
like,
joint was fire, bro. If we do Drake, eventually we will. That's the one I want to do, to be quite honest with you. That was my favorite joint.
I am with you. I ain't never heard Dark Drake like ever. Like even when you try to like get tough on like motherfuckers still love us, like it was still like, this works for you, but it's not really hitting me. But I think if you're reading this, it's too late was the project that made him say, okay, now I can really start doing shit in the trap realm. You know what I'm saying? And whew, my God, that album was fire. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because that was after Nothing Was the Same. It's kind of when they were trying to figure out what was his next thing. After Nothing Was the Same. And then I think that kind of changed it. Because he was more pop with those two albums. You can still say he's still pop now. He's still Drake. But I think Views and Scorpion is a little different. We can get to it, though. But yes, this is the only feature. Drake had a great different twist to the song. These two guys are like forever connected, if you ask me. He did. This was the first one.
Okay.
Because her Loss came out last year. And I don't think he did any more with anyone else.
Yeah. I'm thinking about like, you know, like rumored shit, like shit with like Wayne maybe, but that don't count. That don't really count. But
That don't really count.
Yeah, that don't count. But I always like they just have a really good like working relationship. Like you could tell that they really know how to vibe off of each other, whether they're in videos together. They did so many videos together. Like they always in shit together. It's they're like best friends, like best buds and shit, even when they're in the video. So it just works for them so well. But I also think that the release of this song specifically for Drake was perfect at this time because he was still on the run from If You're Reading This Is Too Late. And the fact that he was taking a dive into this music kind of solidified with this song off of DS2. And then to follow up, oh my God, this is going to get on my nerves. The dual project that they've had.
Yeah, together. What a time to be alive.
Yes. What a time to be alive. Yeah. Like, I think that was kind of like the three-point combination. And this was around the time that he was beefing with Meek Mill. So it was just punch after punch after punch. And it was Drake in this more darker, edgier kind of vibe. And people weren't really ready for it. Like, this was like one of his best years in the game. Honestly, if you want to keep it a buck. That's just me, though. And it's crazy.
You're right.
Yeah. It's crazy because, like, if you're reading, this ain't the most successful album that he's had. But it's one of the most pivotal albums that he's had because a lot of those implementations kind of carry on to his collaboration choices. to this day. You only see that he works with Atlanta artists specifically when it comes to like collaborations and frequently working with them if they're not outside of like, you know, Memphis. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But like, he's been consistent with Future and 21 Savage and whatever, you know, those different groups or those different duos make, it always comes out really good.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's a great point, man. Man, this is what, hell of an album, man. Hell of an album.
Yeah.
Man, do you have any more, or do you want to get into like the review?
Let's see. I got a few more. Let's see. I already threw Slave Masters in there, and you already threw Where You At. So I got two more. I got Blow a Bag. I blow a bag today. I don't do nothing for gas. I blow the bag today. Walk in the mall and go crazy. I blow a bag today. Hop out a whip on the bed. I blow a bag today. Hop on the whip on the bed. I blow a bag today. I blow a bag today. I blow a bag today. Try to go for me so crazy. Blow a bag was pretty cool.
What was the
other one
after that?
Trap Niggas. When you wake up before you brush your teeth, you grab your scraps, nigga. All the time you get down on your knees, you don't crowd, nigga. For what you heard, God blessing all the trap niggas. God blessing all the trap niggas. When you wake up before you brush your teeth, you grab your scraps, nigga. All the time you get down on your knees, you don't crowd, nigga. For what you heard, God blessing all the trap niggas. God blessing all the trap niggas. Wait 1,008 grams on the square. I got a lowercase T across my chest. You crack house doing numbers, then you bless. You move your mama to a crib from the Jets. It's so much, I can holler Kush on my bro. Praying 5 times a day to catch a plug. A few big pies. God blessing all the trap niggas. Oh, I think we can do those together. Can we do those together?
I like Know the Meaning too. Got the game for them old niggas. Gotta know where I'm from to get to know a nigga. I still glad it's more weed. Hiding from the police. I spend time overseas, hanging out in England. And I got the squad on my mind and the meanness. Do a little time out the country, I need this. 56 nights, gotta know the real meaning. Drop Monster Tape and had to go to Europe. Ooh, that might be my favorite. That, because he was telling the story about when Esco got locked up and how he was messed up, and Destiny recorded Beast Mode and this, that, and third. I've never seen him storytelling being like that open about being fucked up about a situation. That's really cool. Yeah. But Trap Niggas, that beat.
Good Lord. You know me, I'm always looking for the bangers on the album. And this, those two were definitely bangers. They work in the club. They're bangers. They've been used in TV shows, media, shit like that. Like, those are just two really good banging ass tracks and highlights off of DS2. Like, even to see him performing these songs live, which he did at Made in America, was fire. And it was just crazy to witness how he was playing specifically Trap Niggas. I heard but Blow a Bag, but Trap Niggas got everybody crazy. At Made in America in 2015 when this album came out. So I think those two songs were two specific ones that I really tag along to because of those experiences that he had at Made in America. Honestly, in my opinion, because I've seen him perform at multiple places. I saw him perform at Broccoli City and I saw him perform at Made in America. I think Gumball too, okay. I don't know. But I think Made in America was his best performance, hands down. Yeah.
Especially one thing I love about Trap Niggas. Really? One thing I love about Trap Niggas is his flow. It's not his normal flow. So some of them were like, wait 1,008 grams on the skin. I'm like, yo, that's pretty, that's not the same flow. I think it's not like a rapper saying, with 1,008 grams on the scale, I got to look. It's not the same. His melody allows him to do certain things with those kind of verses and songs and hooks that makes, like, different. And I thought it was really cool. It's like you really like singing and not like rapping.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That really stood out to me about this one. I just love the flow. I love the beat. It's kind of the beat is kind of like hypnotic. It kind of reminds me like an Atlanta updated version of Huh. I'm like, huh? Juvenile.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it felt like.
I also like the fact that you do mention like the way that he kind of sings within his raps and stuff too, because I think he was a huge influence for like the artists that we have now.
Yeah.
Because now you're seeing a lot of like rappers also mm-hmm. sing as well, you know what I'm saying? Or use auto-tune. So it's kind of mm-hmm. crazy how some of the smaller inflections that he's had throughout his music, because he can switch up and do, you know, more deep voice, you know, up in your face type shit. But like the fact that he was able to switch up like that for this song specifically and kind of still give you the same dark vibe or edgy vibe, that shit was fire. For real. But yeah,
that is pretty impressive. Yeah. I think it was props for that. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
What, like, how would you wrap up this album? What is your final thoughts?
I think that this is his best album within his catalog. I'm not saying, like, I need to be very clear that even though that this is his best album in his catalog, it doesn't mean that a lot of his other projects aren't as good, because it's been, we've seen multiple times that, like, even though he might not have strong projects throughout, he still got one to five bangers on each of those projects. You know what I'm saying? Something memorable for you. So this one specifically was, once again, not only a historical part in music, you know what I'm saying? But it was just a really good album to go back to. And it's still standing the test of time today. And I'm pretty sure this is going to be an album that when people look at like trap music and look at kind of like the earlier forms of it, and when it truly developed into its own subgenre within hip hop, this is going to be one of the albums that we talk about, alongside Young Jeezy, alongside T.I. Like, this is one of like, this is a pillar of trap music. And I feel like when I first listened to it, it was just, yo, this shit is fire. This shit is gonna push him, you know, to stardom. But like, now that we're looking back at it, it was only proof of that, and continues to be proof of that to this day. But I feel like we're gonna talk about this album not only because of how good it was and how successful it was and the creation of it, but then also the mental aspects that came with this album as well, especially with the things that you revealed to me, you know, tonight about this one. So this shit was fire. I like, this is his magnum opus for sure. He can come out with other albums. They're going to be good. The last project that he had was good, but this one is his Mona Lisa.
I agree with a lot of that. I think one of the things I think contributes to that was like, one, what was going on, him like having that fall from grace, I guess you could say, have been married to a pop singer. Oh, let's go. Like, so he has some real world shit to talk about. I think that he had a lot of shit to prove, because technically he has not had that one album success. And I think he did a really good smart thing of like piecemealing some of his songs. So Codeine Crazy was on Monster. That came out in late 2024. March Madness was on 56 Nights. And that dropped early 2015. Yeah. This dropped summer 2015. And then he followed that up with, what is it called? What is Time to Be Alive? 2015. So 2014. Yeah. So that was an amazing like launch pad. Yeah. One thing I think that also was just the cohesiveness of the sound. It was mostly done with all Metro and Southside. Metro and Southside were really cool. At that time, they're making beats together. So a lot of his songs, even though they might not be sound exactly the same, due to them like having different co-producers and things like that. Yeah. But like, they did a really creative job a very collaborative environment. He said he kept sending the thing like, "Oh, this is different how I ever recorded, different how I ever recorded." And I just kept thinking, like, "Man, like, I think it was just that it was so much going on it kind of made this magic." And I think that if you, that's what we feel as fans, because it was able to translate into the music. I think this album really put him on the scale, like you just said. I do hope that over time he can definitely evolve in his music thing, like looking back on his legacy. Hope his content can matter more. Hope he can take more risk, other than just trying to be like a singer, like a regular singer, because like he wants to be stuck in that mode. Like, Know the Meaning was fire. I would love to hear more Know the Meaning, right?
Yeah.
To hear him talk about shit like that in that way. And the way it sounded. It sounded very like Atlanta storytelling.
Yeah.
mid-2000s from the era, because he's from the era, you know. He had Organized Noise doing his beats when he first started, because he was in the Dungeon Family.
Yeah,
right.
And he got his name from the Dungeon Family,
you know what I mean? So it's like, I do wish that some of that shit could still be in his music today.
Yeah.
Along with like evolving his content. You know, he makes some of the music, loves it, sounds amazing, so I'm not trying to say his music sucks. But yeah, I do wish that was, it seemed like I served the bass, like that sound like Beastie Boys. It sound like broken speakers, sound like loud, or like grunts, like a guitar. It's like a different level of entertainment. And I think
Little Future JPEG would do,
I feel like he would do amazing in that realm. And I think, I mean, one time, sometimes I'm a Little Wayne. I think one thing that Wayne did, and sometimes it did not work. A lot of times it didn't work.
Yeah.
But he tried the wild shit to see, like, hey, I'm trying it, see where I can go.
Yeah.
And Kanye tried the wild shit, and you can see kind of where it took him. And I think Future could do those things. But him, similar to Drake, is okay with making safe music.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is what it is.
It feels like he's crafting the character that he currently has now.
Yeah.
To push out more songs. And there's nothing wrong with that, because
it's not.
There's still fire, you know what I'm saying, in a lot of cases. But, you know, like just like Drake, sometimes you can get tired. You could want more from, you know, what he's giving you. You know what I'm saying? And there ain't nothing wrong with that. There ain't nothing wrong with them putting out the content that they do, the music that they do have. But there's nothing wrong with us for saying, hey, I might want something different. But I do like the fact that he does take that time, or he did take that time in the context of this project to experiment. And the fact that Metro was able to experiment in that way with this album, because we were able to, you know, really, really take in more than we expected from Future with this project. And it's crazy too, because I did a review on a previous album that he did before this one. I forgot the name of it, but this one dropped in 2014, and it had Move That Dope. That was the big, that was 2014 single, and it had the Pharrell verse on it, so he got the Pharrell stamp. But at that time, when I was listening to the entire album, I knew that it wasn't at what it could be at its full capacity, but I knew that this was a really good stepping stone from what he had in the mixtape days, in my opinion. Because of course, we talked about it before, like, you was really into Future at the time, especially when he dropped Pluto 3D. I wasn't really fucking with him because of, like, just when it comes to Southern music, to me, like, at that time, I was a little bit more snobbish, the crit, you know what I'm saying, the exquisite Southernness and shit like that. But when I heard his second project after Pluto 3D, it was a turn in the right direction. I was like, okay, all right, I'm invested. I'm interested to see what that next project is. And the lead up to it was not only historical, but just pivotal in his career, and to kind of finish everything off. Not even finish everything off, but just really drop this in the middle of, like, his run was just historical, man. Like, I don't think you're ever going to hear another, like, rap artist have their music used against another NFL team. Like, that's some wild shit, dog. And it was a part of, like, an actual playoff game.
Yeah.
And it led to Russell Wilson losing a playoff game against the Carolina Panthers, which had a quarterback from Georgia. So, like, it's just...
I think that contributed to his escalation to, like, a star, like a superstar.
Yeah.
You know, here we are
8 years later, 7 years later, whatever it is. Future had a great year last year.
Yeah.
He had a really good album. I think it was nominated for stuff. He had a hit song. Hit the song with him, yeah. Teams, and Drake. He had some other good records on there. He's just a, like, and not many, if you think about people from his time, the Roscoe Dashers, the other guys who was out at that time, a lot of those dudes are not around.
Nope, not at all.
So you gotta give him props for that, man.
Yeah.
I don't think people, his Dirty Sprite dropped 2011. That is 12 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't think no one heard Dirty Sprite and be like, this guy's gonna be here for 12 years from now.
Real shit. I know I wasn't, and he proved me
not,
wrong.
And not saying it was bad. Not saying it was bad. I think it did what it was supposed to do. It was like his first project. Yeah. Not saying it was bad. It, was
it
like,
didn't fit me at the time. There you go.
Gorilla Zoe came out around the same time. Other people come out at the same time. I think he got bunched into the young jocks, the new young jocks of the realms.
Yeah.
No one said, no one thought, based on the clown of music was, that he was gonna be the one that stuck in.
Yeah,
he was. His sound evolved, so I love to evolve more. But I give him his props. It has evolved.
Yeah,
it has came a long way.
But
yeah, man, I definitely enjoyed this album. It definitely, I think it made a lot of people real Future fans and really said, okay, now I get what everybody's been talking about. Yeah, man, great episode, man. Great album, man.
Oof, hell yeah,
that was a good one.
Hell yeah,
damn.
Yeah, man. This was a really good, you chose a good one in this one.
Well, we chose 56 Nights. But then I think, again, when we listen to 56 Nights, you're probably thinking the same thing. It just made so much sense to go back to the juggernaut that came after 56 Nights.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it just led up to it. It was just such a huge lead up to it. And this was like the first time in a new version of music where people had that same feeling that they had like in the early 2010s when you had to go listen, you know, go look for new music. Like I never really saw people as, it was on a huge national scale too. Like people that you didn't expect to really be fucking with Future was fucking with Future. Hey, you heard that Karma shit? Hey, did you hear this other joke? It's not on 56 Nights. You got to go on the actual, like the next album and shit like that. Like, right. It had people search for the music the same way we did in the early 2010s. And people don't do that shit no more. Like, you might hear somebody talk about it and be like, oh, I got to get to it on Spotify. But, like, the whole lead that he had throughout those years was just, it's just something that we haven't really experienced in a while. And I'm like, it's that album, classic. Classic.
Yeah. It's a special one.
Yeah.
What are you listening to?
All right. I'm glad that you actually mentioned that because I'm actually going through that right now. So I've been listening to, hold on. Let's see. Neptunes. I've been listening to the Neptunes.
I was listening to Neptunes the other day.
I went back to No One Ever Really Dies.
Mm.
That album, which is fire. Oh my God. Like, I think it came out and it was really hyped up because it was like, oh shit, it's a Nerds album. And like it came out and people, you know, liked Lemon. But the whole album slaps. Like I fuck with the junk with Gucci on there. I've been listening to Shabazz Palaces again. you know,
yeah, what Shabazz, I don't know what that is.
Oh shit. So you know Diggable Planets, the people who made them cool like that.
Yeah.
So the rapper, the lead male rapper in that group, he broke off and made Shabazz Palaces. And they're a Northwestern, I think they're in Seattle, Washington right now.
They still around?
Yeah, they're still around. Oh, wow. They just dropped the album this year or last year. Oh, no. Oh, my God. This is old. This is 2017. But I think they just dropped the album recently. But I've just been getting back into their music because one of the songs that was used in Atlanta, season one, showed up in my Spotify playlist like a couple of days ago. So I just started going back into Shabazz Palaces again. I've been listening to Larry June.
Hey, I love some Larry June. I'm saying,
I love me some Larry June.
I play this shit when I get up in the morning.
God. Hell yeah. Makes you want to fucking eat and drink healthy and shit too.
Man, I mean, I got to go to fucking Juicer.
Really?
Yeah. I was already making smoothies. It made sense. I make juices, man. Because I was going to the store buying them shit. Shit is expensive. Yeah, it's cheap to buy a damn joint. I want to get a better juicer, though. But yeah, I make juices, man. Y'all, come on, bro. Listen, we're leaving this podcast, bro. I can be the buck.
Yeah.
We, especially as black men, bro, we got to take care of ourselves, bro.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? We are dying, whether it's wild shit on the street or it's just us not taking care of ourselves, bro.
Yeah.
We need to go to the doctor, eat right. You know what I'm saying? Niggas ain't perfect, but damn, I'm trying to be conscious of it. So,
yeah.
The angle front, this is a whole tangent, but actually having a rapper that is telling people, get some money, get some businesses. I salute those guys, man, because I think that's very important. Like the rap atmosphere, I think you need the currencies. You need, Money Man. Money Man talks about owning crypto and, you know, buying property and real estate. Talks about other shit, but there's a big portion of his music that is stuff like that. I Swear Vizel talks about stuff like that. I think it's just I think it's cool to have that because we would never really have like that portion of like independent, own yourself, do some money, take care of yourself raps. Of course, other shows is attached, but like Larry June raps about getting money, and fly, shit like that. So you need that shit. I think it's great for the ecosystem. I think hip hop can be a little too leaning one way at a time. So it's good to have that. I do wish that we have some more protest rap, but that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, good protest rap too. Actually good protest rap.
We don't have any protest rap. Everybody kind of bottomed the system right now.
Yeah, I think the only one, I guess Lil Baby's last one was pretty good. But I think when they started, it's one good listen, you know what I'm saying? It got a message to it.
Protest. I want a protest song. We need, where is the dead presses?
Oh, where is the presses? You know what I'm saying? All right, Kendrick Lamar. You know what I'm saying?
Protesting. Oh, man. They ain't talking like Paris. They ain't talking about OQ. They ain't. You know what I'm saying? I think you need that balance, bro. You need. Yeah. Even Killer Mike used to do that before he got the white co-worker.
Then he went like super liberal.
Yeah. Super fake brother with it. Shit. Now he got a white co-worker. He can't talk about Reagan and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Shit,
but I'm listening to Bad, Bad, Not Good.
Ooh, okay.
I listened to the joint.
Which
IV,
one?
IV. No, was that 5, 4, 6? I don't know. And the album they did with Ghostface.
That shit is fire. I know last week, bro. I told you I used to, I saw them perform with Ghostface. So they performed live with Ghostface. Bro, around that time that album dropped. Oh my God. Break up a lot.
Easy. I was playing that. I played some Zero. I played Zero. Zero got an album with Trader Truth.
Legend. EBN. Legends. No, I'm
sorry. I absolutely love Zero, man. I remember I went to Houston in 2005, 2008, whatever that was. And my big cousin played some Zero, and he played some Trader Truth, and he played like Mike Jones, Paul Wall, all those shits. I'm like, yo, who the fuck is Zero? And that nigga ever since been bumping that shit. So,
period.
Big fan of him, big fan of all those Houston guys. So I would definitely some Trader Truth. And it's this Spanish artist named Cuco. He had a song in Spanish and English, pretty fire. I don't know what he's saying half the time, but I'm learning that shit. So SZA album still getting play.
Oh my God, that shit's fire.
Currency, that most recent album, Driving Theater Part 2. Big Daddy Kane. Parliament, some more Spanish music, like some of that Bad Bunny joint gets plays.
Okay.
Slim Thug album, already platinum. That was my recently.
Classic. Three recently. Kings is on that joint.
And also Lil Yachty album, again played, his most recent one.
I gotta tap into that one. You talked about that as well, man. I gotta tap into that.
He is on. It's gonna be so corny if people start doing this, but they'll start saying he's like the next Mac Miller. That's what I'm gonna start saying. I feel it's coming. Really? I think he needs to do a little bit more than that. But I am happy that he feels comfortable working out of his box that he was put in when he first came out. And though he was a cheesy pop artist, bubblegum, make one hit wonder kid, and he's done some really cool stuff, wrote some really big records, made some really good hits. And I think when he can make songs like that, and you can improve with rap and how he did, he can do some cool stuff. I think he might have a similar trajectory like Tyler has, where you get pigeonholed as one thing, and really you're allowed to express yourself musically to become something else. So we'll see what goes with that. Yeah. And also, like, last thing, I did a deep, like, I revisited Ludacris.
Okay.
He does not get the props he deserves.
Not at all. Not at all.
And I want to know why. I mean, someone tweeted this the other day, and after I was listening, I was playing Chicken and Beer, and I played Back for the first time.
Yeah.
And I played Word of Mouth. I'm like, yo, he was rapping.
Yeah.
He was rapping.
Yeah,
and it's pretty impressive. He does not get we can talk about this. Do you know why you think that is?
Even when Release Therapy came out, he still had bangers off of that. But I feel like his entire, like, the 2000s was a run for him.
Yeah.
But I think, like, after Release Therapy, he just wasn't getting that same kind of run. I don't know why is that though. That's interesting. Hold on, let's see the albums that he dropped around that time too. But yeah, I
think
I know it was
before Release Therapy. I think he tried to get serious because people got tired of his antics. Kind of like Lil Baby, DaBaby.
But that's what made him good though, because he was able to, like, do videos like throwing bowls or like those type of videos that were just super crazy, but they still were like a lot deeper than what you might have expected. And they still related to the song, like Move, Bitch, Get Out the Way. Like, the video for that was crazy. Or hold on. So let's see. I'm cutting my own stuff off. Goddamn. I'm looking at the discography for Ludacris. You had Incognito. You had Back for the First Time. You had Word of Mouth. You had Chicken Beer. You had the Red Light District, which had some songs that had some bangers on there too. It had Stand Up. When I Move, You Move, just like that. Then Release Therapy came out. Then Theater of Mind came out. I think Theater of Mind is when things fizzled out or began to fizzle out. But
that was 10 years in, wasn't it, Brian?
Yeah, that was almost 10 years. This song specifically had What Them Girls Like. Yeah, so I think this was the one that kind of fizzled out. And I think this was around the recession. So... Yeah. That could be, and it had One More Drink. It had One More Drink on here, so it still had songs. Wow. That's crazy.
Well, we'll get into a whole Ludacris tangent. Maybe we can do a Ludacris album.
Yeah.
Any wrap ups?
Did you see the Grammys?
Nah, man, I ain't watched that shit.
Yeah.
I was gonna lie. I ain't watched that shit.
I get you.
I think I'm done with that shit, to be honest with y'all.
Yeah. Like,
you know what I'm saying? And everything that I thought was going to happened too.
Yeah. Beyonce got a credit.
I know who won. I know who won. Yeah. I don't watch that shit. But one, they 30 for 30 about Baltimore, the Baltimore Ravens is coming on.
Mmm.
All the boys of Baltimore. I watched that shit.
Come on, dog. Come on. You have to.
The Last of Us came on, so nah. And then I saw who's performing. I don't want to see them niggas.
I think the only thing I'm probably going to go back to is like the hip hop tribute. And
I'll revisit that. I saw clips on Twitter. I saw different stuff. I'm definitely visit that. I think that was cool. Yeah. I'm hoping that BET does one better. They should. They can never get that shit together. Oh, also, really quick. I know.
Wait, you said BET can't get it together? I think BET does it best when it comes to like the tribute. Well, unfortunately,
I'm talking about BET get that shit together. Listen, I don't know who's listening. I want BET. I want to get to a place. Maybe I need to get my career popping elsewhere and come to do this one day. I want BET to hire me to just make their TV schedule and make content for them. They should have never given Tyler Perry all of that money.
I was going to say that
they could have made their own content. And not have this body. They can make their they only had to fucking do. This is one thing they could have did. Go to find certain black people and build on those areas. And build that into the network. And gravitate from their current content they're making to BET content. And a lot of them still make their other content.
Mm-hmm.
but use this to like do something else. And I don't want to give too much up because it's my fucking idea, and I don't want no one to hear this and steal this shit.
But, I mean, you're putting it on wax right now, and we haven't. I go into detail.
BT needs to hire me. I have the idea to change their motherfucking lives, and they will own certain IP besides paying me. I have a whole schedule. I had the people in my mind who will be perfect for them based on that engagement. I did my work. BT, holla at your boy. I'm telling you something. When you get out of that Tyler Perry, Suge Knight deal, give me some bands and a budget. Now we making content. We're going to have niggas asking seats.
Man, you better stop asking for that, man. You might have to go fight up the ladders like it's Mortal Kombat to get the Tyler Perry now for that deal.
Man, I'd be like Boondocks Tyler Perry episode. But yeah, this was amazing, y'all. I enjoyed my time.
Yeah.
Always fun chopping it up with you. Follow already. Us on our socials. I know niggas don't listen as long as the show, but you never know. Yeah. I got social media. Follow me, motherfucker. If you can find it, I could give a shit.
You gotta say it because I can't.
It is YO underscore AHKI on everything. Bam. Everything that matters.
Bam. There you go. And my name is Vance B underscore on IG, Instagram, Twitter, everything that matters. DJ Vance B and whatchamacallit, Be Real. Your boy got to Be Real now. And yeah. Fuck with your boy. Follow me. I drop mixes. I'm going to drop a video mix soon. I've been trying to get my OBS and stuff together. But yeah, man. Valentine's Day mix coming out. Or it came out soon by the time this recorded. Because that literally is coming out like this week. But yeah. Fuck with your people. Fuck with your peoples. You know what I'm saying? Record Report all day. It's always great hanging out with you. You know what I'm saying? Talking about dope ass music, going back through history. And man, can't wait for the next project that we look into. It's going to be interesting when we come out, especially from the list that we got for this season. So this is just another one off of it. And I'm excited.
It's going to be something crazy. All right, y'all. See y'all next week. Peace. I had to spell a shoulder with my jeans on. And I had my pistol in my pocket. Can't trust none of these bitches, gotta be cautious. Can't trust none of these bitches, gotta be cautious. I bought all the sodas at the gas station. I just put a famous bitch in rotation. I just put that famous bitch in rotation.